Very good morning to you all. Ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to Trot's Life here. 21st of the 3rd, 21st of March. Big show coming up. Great to have your company. Paul Sebastiani here with you. And we are joined in studio. We've got a big show coming up, actually, with a handful of guests. Steve Cleave is going to join us, of course, with his little black book. We've got a, I don't know if he's a surprise guest, but he's a young gentleman who's causing a few scenes with regards to the harness racing industry. It's always good to see these youngsters just throwing in a spanner of the works of the old crew, which is always nice. So hopefully we can have a chat with, I won't reveal his name just yet, but this man, I will reveal his name. Have you got your microphone there, sir? that would be very handy. Grab that one there. Okay. Grab that one there. Let's see if this works. How's that? Hold on a minute. There we go. Is that live now?
Is that better?
There we go. Vince Lotchisano joins us in studio. How are you, Vince?
Not bad, thanks, Paul.
I was going to say, you've set the cans up, you've set your seat up, but you haven't set your microphone up.
I thought that was the first sign that I'm out the door after this show.
How are you, mate?
Jules has got the best view of my face, by the way, from behind me. I've got the best head for radio going around.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good and excited by what's coming up in harness racing. And it's been a fantastic couple of months, really.
Yes.
And there's more to come.
There is more to come. I'll tell you what, we have a very special guest coming on at around about 11:30. We'll confirm all of that shortly. So, young man from Racing New South Wales. He's driven a few winners already, which is fantastic. So we'll chat to him in around about half an hour's time. Steve Cleave will join us at around about 11:15 here, Australian Eastern Time, as usual, for his little black book segment, which we will have plenty of fun with, which is always great. So how was your weekend with regards to harness racing, Vince? I'm sure you caught a bit of the action. Sort of I went through all the replays earlier this morning and looked at the winners. Bark was an odds on pop. Everybody thought it would win and win comfortably, but there's a few people sweating bullets in the last couple of metres, just quietly.
So long as it gets up, it doesn't matter if
exactly.
It's by a short half head.
Exactly right. Exactly
as long
right.
as it gets up. But no, good performance. And, there were lots of highlights over the weekend. Lots of pacing cup meetings and feature races around the country. Broken Hill. It was good to see the Watsons get a hometown win in Broken Hill.
You gave that a bit of a pump up last week, the Broken Hill Cup, which is great. And I'll tell you what.
And my tip, I was looking forward to a winning and it got scratched.
That's always the case, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Tech Sue, as the morning goes on, ladies and gentlemen, 0499-736-736. That is the number to send in your texts. The Canberra meeting over the weekend was fantastic.
Yes.
We had a massive, we had a bit of a blowout in, it was the Trotters Cup, was it, at Canberra, I think? The Jason Grimson horse got rolled as one of the odds on pops, and I was on the second favourite, and it was gone at the 500, unfortunately. So we had a roughie lob in the Canberra Trotters Cup.
Yes.
That's the name of it now, escapes me. I just had it up in my internet.
That was... Just give me a sec. Royal Dan was the $1.30 favourite in the Trotters Cup.
But drifted.
How can you drift to $1.30?
Drifted out.
I suppose that's a bit like Black Caviar drifting from $1.06.
It was longer than $1.30. I think it got out to 1.9 or 1.8 from what I was
sharpened in again towards the end, I think.
Did it really? Okay. Mm. Yeah, very interesting.
But the Canberra Pacing Cup is the one you're referring to.
That's the one, yes.
And Zambia at $41.
That's correct, yes, correct.
Got up. And, I guess a few people would have been scratching their heads after that result.
I think a few people would have. But, well, maybe not the owners and connections of the horse, but congratulations to them. So first half of the program, we will have, as I mentioned, Steve Cleave off the top. So he'll join us in around about 10 minutes' time to have a chat about his little black book and what's to come for this weekend as well, which will be great. And then at around about 11:30, I'll just mention his name now, Lucas Rando is going to join us. Now, he made news on a few other main harness racing pages, namely Harness Racing New South Wales. young gun driver living his harness dream. Now, he has a bit of a family connection, I think, with regards to the industry. So,
I think you'll find his parents and also his uncle and auntie have been involved in owning and training horses over the years, and his grandfather as well.
Fantastic.
So, I think the rando name goes back many a decade in harness racing in New South Wales.
We can quiz him about it this morning, Vince. We can definitely quiz him about it. So Steve Cleave and Lucas Rando to join us on the program in the first half. And then what we'll do in the second half, we're going to do a big form preview from midday all the way to the end of the program. So we have got... You sent me a dossier through with races you want to cover.
I can't believe how much is on this weekend.
There's so much going on. So we've got three group ones.
Mm-hmm.
Three group ones this weekend, which we will definitely touch on.
Two of which are not even in our country.
Correct. They're in New Zealand. It'd be
exactly.
nice to have it. I'd love to get Mickey Guerin on the line, but old mate, he's on holiday, so he's putting his feet up.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have a great chat about all of that. Gloucester Park's got some great racing this weekend. We've got some great feature racing, group one racing coming up at Melton. There's something about Maori's free for all, a group one, race number five. So we'll touch on all of that and more. And then we've got some racing on Sunday coming up as well. Gawler has their feature event, their Pacing and Trotters Cup, and the Derby as well. But the fields have not been finalised yet. But we'll give that a bit of love on the program this morning and this afternoon, Vince. So,
and not too far from Gawler is a place called Oyen in Victoria.
That's
and
correct.
They're having their Pacing Cup
That's
meeting
correct.
On Sunday.
That's
so.
Correct. Mm. Exactly. So we'll touch on all of that and more. Now, the boys are going to be, from a trackside perspective, after Trot's Life today, they're going to be, I think they're in Mount Gambier today.
When you say the boys?
Yeah.
Which boys?
SEN Track Lads. Miles.
Oh, right.
I think Tags is headed over there as well. So
okay.
I'll have to confirm that.
Must be the Mount Gambier Cup or something, is it?
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Well, it was the Mount Gambier Pacing and Trotters Cup only going back, when was it? Was it last weekend or
the weekend before?
I think it was last weekend, wasn't it?
You might be right. It might be that time of the year for...
I'm losing track.
It might be that time of the year for Mount Gambier. It's all these country events, I noticed, that when they have their... thoroughbred meetings.
Yep.
They usually have, it usually aligns with the other codes as well. It's not a rule of thumb, obviously, but I think it just makes
sense. Actually, it was last Saturday night.
It was one of the feature meetings in the country, in fact. It all makes sense, Vince. So we've got plenty to get through. So what we'll do, just to recap again, Steve Cleave is going to join us after the break for the Little Black Book. So we'll have a chat to him about all of that and more. And at 11:30, young man who's going to join us, goes by the name of Lucas Rando. So we're going to have a great chat to him about all things harness racing, how he got into it, how his family's involved with it, what he sees as his vision and mission for the future of harness racing. And then from midday, Vince and I, we are going to go through a massive preview of what's to come this weekend. So hopefully we entertain you. Hopefully we put some cash in your pocket.
That's
and
important.
Hopefully we put a big fat smile on your face. So if we're ticking off all those three, I think we're doing a good job and the swipe cards will work next time we come in.
Let's hope so.
Let's throw it to a break, and on the other side we'll be joined by Steve Cleave for the Little Black Book. Don't go anywhere. It's Trots Live Thursday the 21st of March.
Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499 736 736. Live on SEN Track. You're listening to Trots Life.
It's time to take a peek into the Little Black Book.
Hey, it's great to have your company back here on Trots Live Thursday, the 21st of March. Paul Sebastiani here with you. Vince Lotchisano is with us as well. How's that for a little sweeper?
I like that.
Yeah.
that song reminds me of the old show, what, the Donald Trump one.
Yes.
The Apprentice.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can make as much money as Donald Trump this weekend with a man that we are very fond of here on Trots Life and here at SEN Track. He goes by the name of Steve Cleave. It is his Little Black Book segment. Steve, good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Vince. How are we, boys?
Morning, Stephen. We're pretty good, I think.
Yeah, we're better for hearing your voice anyway.
Very upbeat.
Oh, you say that now. Just tell me that on Monday morning.
We definitely will. Talk to us. How is Mirakuru going after how many runs has the horse had now? Two?
He's had two.
Yep.
So we're third up next start, the one you're waiting for. We
yes.
need a little bit of luck with the barrier draw. He's been racing well. Times are good. We've just had no luck.
Yeah. How did he pull up from the weekend?
Absolute treat.
Yeah, beautiful.
Hitting the world good. He looks fantastic. And he bounced through that run like he's a two-year-old.
Beautiful. Oh, that's very nice.
Actually, I actually see that he dead-heated for seventh with a horse that you thought was a good chance in the race.
Yeah, that's right. So if I thought it was a good chance, I did eat it with it, we must have gone okay. Forget that it was seventh.
Yes, exactly.
There we go. We love that. Absolutely love that. All right, shall we recap some of the results from the weekend? How did we fare? And we'll also look towards what's to come today and into the rest of the weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a great night on last weekend. We had a couple of winners with Heavenly Charm, our value
yep.
play, getting up at $8.50. That was a fantastic win, and the race was set up for it beautifully. And Bark also got the win. He needed a little bit of luck,
oof.
But he got through up the sprint lane and got the win for us. Delby Robin ran a really good second, and Ebony's Avenger at really good value ran third as well. So, yep, we're right around the money, which is great to see.
Yep, no, that's fantastic. Speaking of money, what have you got for us this weekend, Steve? Talk to us.
We have Melton Saturday night. We've got runners in every race bar for one. So 7 out of 8 races, we have winners. Well, hopefully we've got
seven. Yeah, that's a good Freudian slip.
Good start, that's for sure. But there's two ways to look at this meeting, and not everyone, I suppose, are big punters. If you're yep. a big punter, yep. I would only have two bets, and that would be race 6, number 9, Recaro Rebel. I'd just have 100 straight out on her, and then straight into race 7, number 8 in Bark and have 100 straight out on him. They'll both be short enough, but you could make a profit. But because we're not all big punters, I like to spread it out a little bit, see if we can't find some value. So if we go through those 7 races, in race 1, we've got 2 horses in this race, and that is Dance Away, which is number 6, and Operative Line, number 10. And I'm happy to have a little bet on both of these horses. So race 1, number 6, I'd have a $50 win bet on Dance Away after a terrific win in the Terrain Cup. And then number 10, Operative Line, is fourth up here. It gets an okay barrier draw following. I think it's going to get a good run. It's going to be good odds too. I'm expecting double figures. We're going to have a $5 win bet and $20 place bet. So $50 a win, race 1, number 6, and a 5x20, race 1, number 10.
Beautiful. So race 1, dance away, and race 1, Operative Line. Okay. Race 2, is that the race we're skipping, or are we have we got something here?
We've got something here. Sebastian's Boy, number 12. Absolutely flying on its win first up. Unfortunately, it galloped before the start, last start, so you've got to put a line through mm-hmm. that run. Not getting good enough value, though, to back it off the barrier draw with the chance it could do something wrong at the start. So we'll be watching it, but won't be backing it.
Okay, so Sebastian's Boy, race 2. We'll have a watch, but no outlay there. Race 3 on the program at Melton.
Yeah, race 3, we've got Serge Blanco first up from a spell. This horse goes terrific fresh, but wow, what a nice little field this is, especially up against Catch a Wave. Certainly be watching him go around, but no bet.
Okay, no bet. So Serge Blanco, race 3, the horse to watch there. Race 4?
Race 4, we do not have any black book okay. runners. It's a 2-year-old. Haven't managed to put any 2-year-olds in the black book yet.
So okay.
that's one race we don't have a runner in.
Beautiful. Is there anything from a breeding perspective that you liked particularly in that race at all?
Yeah, the highlight reel, number 1. He's been trialling up absolutely super. He's a poster boy colt. He looks a real class animal. It's going to be a great watch, actually. Clayton Tonkin's got 2. 2-year-old first starters in there, both are very well bred. So mm-hmm. the first starters versus the ones that have raced 40 Love and Hesitate, who look very nice horses. This, although it's a small field of 6, I think it's going to be an exciting race.
Okay, we like that. So there might be some black bookers out of this race potentially running in behind those really smart types we've seen at the trials. Race 5 at Melton, first leg of the quaddie.
Yeah, race 5, we've got 2 runners in this race. Number 9, Ebony's Avenger, who is racing extremely well, and number 11, Visionary, who big odds Visionary and just needs a little bit of luck to go its way, and it can be running in the money. It's currently marked at $26, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little bit better than that. We're going to have a little play here on Visionary and just going to have $20 to place on number 11. So we're looking at real value with this one. If it can get the right toe into the race, I think it can run a place.
Okay, beautiful. Love that.
There's talk also that this might be Queen Elida's last run in the country. Is that right?
Yeah, well, look, it's hard to tell. It's going home to race in the big trot race over there, the slot race they've got going. Whether she comes back or not is a question mark. I hope she does, because we need horses like her on the track. She's an absolute gem.
No, we definitely do. Be interesting to
got
see.
Got the job
she
ahead
goes.
From Barrier 13 on the weekend, that's
ever,
for sure.
Does she ever?
Does she certainly ever? But it's over 2760, so Barrier's sort of become a little bit null and void.
True.
If they can make their own moves in the race.
Yep.
Indeed. So race number six, second leg of the quaddy here for us, Steve, for the Little Black Book.
Yeah, so this one's interesting. We've got four runners in there. Number four, Major Fire. Number seven, who won last week for us, Heavenly Charm. Number nine, Ricciero Rebel. And number 10, So What, who's also absolutely flying. But we're just having one bet here, and that's race six, number nine, Ricciero Rebel. $50 straight out the win.
Love it. Yeah, Ricciero Rebel going super at the moment as well. Race seven, third leg of the quaddy here at Melton.
Yeah, race seven, we've got one horse in this, and that is the one that got up for us last week in Bark. Mm-hmm. Should be winning again. Not enough value for us. It says $1.80. I think he'll go around $1.40 this week. So we won't be backing him, but we'll be cheering him home.
Like that. Like that.
My dog. That's my dog's favourite horse.
No, oh, that's shocking. I thought you were going to make a singing reference there or a musical reference, actually.
Vin, you need to go on Tuesday, shall we?
That is absolutely
just sort of throwing a real dad joke there.
Oh, that is terrible. It's absolutely. Get us back on track, Steve. Race 8 at Melton.
You've got a dump button there. You should dump that.
I'll tell you what, after this show,
lucky last race at Melton, the Australian Pacing Gold Pace. Now, we've got three horses in this race. Changeover Girl, number two, Clomenis, number seven, and Delby Robin, number nine. And, Clomenis is going well. He drew seven last week, and as we talked about before, he did come out in seven. So we won't be backing him, but we are going to back the other two Little Black Book runners. So race eight, number two, Changeover Girl. I think this horse could be in the 20 to 1, 25 to 1 mark. A little bit of value here. If the emergency comes out, it comes out of barrier one. I can just see it getting the perfect run behind the favourite Classic Mission and then getting a good chance to run a place. So we're going to have a little $5 win bet just in case something happens to the favourite and we can get over the top of it, but a $20 place bet. So a $25 outlay on race eight, number two, and also on race eight, number nine, Delby Robin. This horse is banging on the door for a win. It is flying home in its races of late. It's got a nice trailing through draw. I think it's going to be hitting the line absolutely strong ass. So we're going to have a $10 win bet and $20 a place bet. So that's all the value bets for the meeting. As I said, if you want to play value, that's the way I would go. If you want to play hard and fast, then we could just have two win bets on two favourites and just go for gold that way.
Beautiful. All right, so that was a final leg of the quaddy. Anything else we've got at Melton that we need to keep our eye on for the Little Black Book?
Look, that's pretty much it for the night. We've got, as I said, runners in every race bar for the two-year-old, and that two-year-old race is going to be exciting. It's a terrific night's racing. I mean, there's only eight races, but, boy, it's just full of absolute class and quality. So really looking forward to it. I'll be working at Melton on Trot's Vision.
Oh, fantastic. Beautiful. Will you be suited up, or is it a little bit more of a laid-back affair?
No, mate, I'll be in the suit.
Hey, very nice. Very, very, very
looking very
nice.
Dapper.
Yes. All right, so let's recap the actual betting play from a dollar's perspective so the punters can get their bets on for the weekend.
Okay, so value play-wise, we're going with race one, number 10, $5 a win, $20 a place.
Mm-hmm.
Race one, number six, $50 straight out the win. Race five, number 11, $20 the place. Race six, number nine, $50 straight out the win. Race eight, number two, $5 the win, $20 the place. And race eight, number nine, $10 the win, $20 the place. That is the $200 game plan. But as I said, if you don't want to be chasing bets all night, you just want to have two real good cracks at it, you could go race 6, number 9, 100 the win, race 7, number 8, 100 the win, and just have two red-hot goes.
Beautiful. Absolutely fantastic.
Sounds great.
We've got options for all punters there, Steve. Mirakuru, hopefully we can get something nice done there third up as well. Eh? How does that sound?
Fingers crossed. Yeah. That's all we're hoping for.
Exactly. And after that gag I just told before, I had word from management, race 7, number 7. They just said our Vincent can go. Whenever he's ready, he can go. Straight out the front door.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, good Lord. This is what we're dealing with on a Thursday morning here, Steve.
Gotta love it.
Good man, mate. Well, good luck this weekend, and we will chat next week, mate. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. Have a great one.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Steve.
There we go. Steve Cleave joining us for the Little Black Book. Hopefully we can find some winners there, Vince. That'd be fantastic.
Well, most of his bets are based on value, so not every one of them are going to come off. But when they do, they generally pay quite handsomely.
And when they lob, it's always nice for the punters.
So long as you're
too,
in so. Front by the end of the
well,
night.
Well, that's exactly right. You may even be able to take. And I know people like to take doubles and multis. I'm not really a multis man or anything like that. But Recaro Rebel into Bark might be the way people want to play it. There's some nice each way plays there as well. So just to recap, the horses that Steve has backed. So race 1, number 10 and number 6. Race 5, number 11. Race 6, number 9. Race 8, number 2 and number 9. Those are the bets and horses that he's actually outlaid cash on. And for those who may not want to be an each way punter or anything like that, if they want to go straight out the win, his $200 play. Race 6, number 9, Recaro Rebel, $100. Race 7, number 8, Bark, $100. So that's
and these bets are normally able to be accessed via, is it Trotts Vision?
He'll have them up on the tally. They'll be up on the tally with him. But if you punch in Little Black Book, Steve Cleave, Little Black Book, the Monday retrospective shows when they go over it on the weekend, results over the weekend, and they have a look at it all. But, you'll be able to find that if you type in Steve Cleave, Little Black Book, that'll pop up online. And you can follow
otherwise
him on Twitter.
Tune in on a Thursday.
Listen
to the man himself.
Exactly right. Tune in on the Thursday and you can get it straight from the horse's mouth. We need to get to the news. And on the other side, Lucas Randall is going to join us. Young harness racing driver.
Looking forward to that.
He's going to join us on the other side of the break. So Trots Life, Thursday the 21st of March. Don't go anywhere. We will be back after the news.
Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499-736-736. Live on SEN Track. Welcome to Trots Life.
Yes, great to have your company back here on Trots Life Thursday, the 21st of March. Paul Sebastiani is my name, joined in the studio. What's this now, the fourth week in a row, Vince?
Something like that. Yeah. I'm getting paid so much to be here that I can't resist.
The cup of coffee is pretty good, isn't it? You cannot resist the cups of coffee here in the
anything
SEM
for
building.
You, Mr. Sebastiani.
Thank you
it's
very
a pleasure
much,
to be working
thank
with
you very much. And likewise.
With you,
well.
Sir.
And likewise as well. Now, joining us on the line is a young man. Now, he drove his first Menangle double back on back in December 2023. But fast forward to today. And it's a fledgling career that could potentially be reaching some pretty high heights, Vince. And you made mention that this young man has a few family ties in the industry.
My word.
Which is always great to hear. And he joins us on the line now. Lucas Randall or Rando? How's it pronounced, Lucas? Is it Randall or Rando?
Ah. You can go either or.
I bet you at school you used to get Rambo, didn't you?
Oh, I did. Got a few that I probably can't say on air either.
Yeah. Maybe for after hours. Lucas, thank you very much for joining us. First off, how are you? How's it all going in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. Things are ticking along all right. You know, it's there's a large pool of drivers up here, which sort of makes it hard in regards to opportunity. But, we're pressing on and we're chipping away, so that's all we can do.
Of course, absolutely. Now, Vince mentioned off the top that you've got some family ties in the industry as well. Can you sort of maybe expand on that and how it all started for you? You're still young, but I suppose maybe rewinding a few years back where it all began for you as a young fella.
Yeah, so as you guys mentioned, my family has a deep history in this sport. My great-great-grandfather, Giacomo, when he came over from Italy, this was sort of his hobby. And he was primarily an owner, but he dabbled in training and driving too. Mm-hmm. And his son, Stephen, who's my grandfather, he was at one time a sort of semi-professional trainer-driver, and he was the Mitavite representative sort of Sydney region for a long time. So he had quite a lot to do with the sport. Then his sons, my father, James, who's a hobbyist trainer, always, you know, messed around with his one or two horses. But his other son, my uncle Joe, and his wife Mary, they're professionals. They train out of Menangle now. And then I sort of got my introduction to the sport through both my aunt and uncle and my father. And, everything sort of just happened through them.
Now, you do realise, Lucas, that you're very fortunate to be interviewed today by two guys who have an Italian heritage. So when you said your great-grandfather's name was Giacomo, can I ask you what part of Italy is that from?
So he's from the Apulian Isles. He's from a little their family comes from a little island called Filicudi.
Oh, right. Is that off what part of the mainland is that off?
It's off the coast of Sicily, I think.
Sicily.
Beautiful. There you go.
Siciliano.
Beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, I'm half Sicilian and half Calabrese. That's why every time I wake up in the morning, I want to smack myself in the mouth. How about you? Are you is the whole both sides of the family from around that way, Sicily?
Yep, all the Italians. So both my grandfathers and one of my grandmothers all from that part of Italy.
They're
all from the same islands. And then my maternal grandmother was Australian.
There you go. Very good.
All from the islands.
We get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and no doubt the family's involved in other things other than just owning a few horses and training a few. They're more like hobby trainers, etc. They're apart from your uncles, which are full time now, aren't they? What else do they do? Like, what your mum and dad do?
So my father's a cornice plasterer, always has been. He's done that since he left school when he was about 17. And my mother, she just sort of, she never really had a career. She was always sort of the stay at home mum sort of thing. But she helps my father with the horses, and that's sort of
terrific.
Her that's passion fantastic. Now too.
Now, I watched a little YouTube clip on Lucas last night doing a little bit of homework for this interview.
Funny you say that. Lucas, did you even know about this?
They had told me that naturally I knew it was filmed and everything. Like, I did the interview and they messaged me to say that it was going to go on air that morning. And then I never got told, where to watch it or anything, so I didn't end up watching it till after.
That's why you got us.
I think it was in the YouTube interview where I think you said that if it didn't quite work out for you as a driver, that you were looking at getting a career in the media in that sense. So maybe Paul Sebastiani's job is under threat here.
He's got to watch out.
You're always welcome in the studios here, Lucas. By all means, mate. By all means. Now, from a driving perspective, where do you see it all lying for you? Not just in the present, but moving forward. What's your dream with regards to the harness racing industry? How do you picture yourself in the next few years?
Well, ideally, I'd love to be like Cameron Hart and just drive full time. I think he has the most wonderful job in the world. The whole the training side of things doesn't create much allure to me, and it honestly never really has. Mm-hmm. So being in the stable environment is brilliant in a sense because you learn so much, and most trainers with phenomenal drivers or are good drivers in themselves, so it's very rewarding in the tutoring and mentoring I get from them. But ideally, I'd love to just drive, like, whether that be in Sydney or Perth. Perth's probably... If it doesn't work out in Sydney, Perth is where I'm leaning towards. But simply adore the lifestyle over here, and I have no intent of going anytime soon.
Why Perth, can I ask, Lucas? Is there something enticing you over there other than the beautiful weather?
You might get excited by this, Vince.
The racing is just simply phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think it's the most elite racing anywhere in Australia.
I love it. Every Friday night, it's the best meeting of the week.
Oh, 100%. I stay up. Most weeks I'm coming back from Newcastle. I'm more excited for the car ride home back from Newcastle because I can sit there and watch the races. And
that's the beauty of them being 3 hours behind in summer, isn't it? You're still, at 11 o'clock, it's only race 5. But I guess you've got some ambitions as a driver there. I mean, you mentioned Cameron Hart. It'd be nice to win an Inter-Dominion or a Hunter Cup or something like that one day. But have you set yourself some time ambitions in that sense? Like, do you just want to be a full-time driver for good, or are you sort of giving yourself certain ambitions in terms of having to achieve them by a certain time? I'm probably not wording this very well, but have you got certain goals that you've set for yourself and some time limits on achieving them?
Yeah, sort of. I've got a couple of years left in my claim. If things don't really start to kick in the gear across the next sort of...
Yep.
Honestly, the next 6 months, I'm going to start thinking about things more practically. But I'm going to try and see out the rest of my claim.
You claim five at the moment, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do, and I've still got 50-odd winners left to go with that. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to outdrive that before I do anything else, really. But
that'll get you some good opportunities on good horses, having a claim like that.
Yeah. It's tough. Like, as I said off the top, there's a really deep pool of drivers in Sydney, especially in the concession ranks. So it's quite competitive. It's hard to pick up drives here, which is probably my biggest issue I'm facing at the moment. I'm just honestly not driving a lot. But I'd like to hope that if I stick at it, the right opportunities will come along at some point.
Yeah, of course. Are you at the moment, obviously, you've got, you know, the family ties and family association when it comes to driving and the stable, but have you got an association particularly with any other stable at the moment?
At the moment I don't actually. Mm-hmm. I'm in my last week working with Jared Ouchen right now. Yep. I've only got the rest of this week left before we part ways. He's been brilliant to me from the mentoring side of things. Mm-hmm. And I've previously worked for Paul Fitzpatrick and Gavin Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
And I honestly can't thank them enough for everything they did for me. Gavin, especially, like, he just completely changed the way I drive and the way I approach racing, and he was better to me than I could have ever possibly imagined. And I'm forever grateful for what they did for me. But other than that, not really. I get a lot of support off Peter Hansen and the team out there. An owner called Scott McDonald seems to put a lot of faith in me, and I'm very grateful for him. And there's another young trainer, he's only my age, down the South Coast, named Ben Swan. He's only just sort of starting out, but he does a good job with his horses, and he's been very, very good to me in regards to opportunity as well.
Very good. Well, we noticed that in race five tomorrow, Saturday night at Menangle, the Charlie Furina Memorial, you've got to drive on a horse called Our Southern Star. Can you give us a bit of an idea of your chances on that?
Yeah, it's, the horse is going absolutely sensational. Her closing sectionals every start since Mr. Binskin's come in her care has been just outstanding. I used to drive her a little bit when her owner, trainer, Steve Conroy, had her.
Right.
And I still don't actually know why he sent her to DJ. But anyways, he sent her to Mr. Binskin, and I was fortunate enough to get on her a couple of starts ago, and she won in 150, and he's left me on thereafter. And it's a very strong race. She's in Saturday, but I thought the race shape might suit. There does seem to be quite a lot of tempo engaged, and her last run was probably better than it appeared. She's a very one-dimensional sort of horse. I had to do a little bit of work to hold my spot last week and probably told a bit late, whereas this week I'm hoping from the sort of middle of the alley draw I can just slide across or get straight to the fence ideally and not have to do any work. And if they ever do it in front, I wouldn't be surprised if she was in the line into a placing at least late.
Well, there we go. So race five, number five, Our Southern Star this weekend at Menangle. Lucas, just before we let you go, I've got two, I think they're important questions to ask any person in the racing industry. Mm-hmm. The first horse you fell in love with, the first horse that you just remember from when you were a young kid that made you fall in love with racing, and then the race that you want to win as a driver.
Yep, first one I've got a very quick, very simple answer for. Blacks of Fate probably is my entire impetus to loving this sport. One of my core memories as a child was the 2010 Inter-Dominion, and he won it here at Menangle. And I still
probably once a week I will watch the replay of that race because it is hard to appreciate.
Yeah.
He did it the way he did back then in the time he did, because horses don't do that now, let alone back then.
It was an enormous race, run. Yeah,
and just the quality of horse in behind him. Mm. Like, he had actual champions chasing him after doing all that work and they couldn't get him.
Yep.
But after the race, I had made this, like, poster saying I love Blackie with it. And after the race...
Isn't that great?
Nat Rasmussen was going around signing autographs. And she'd come and sign my one. And it pains me. I still don't know the name of the gentleman that used to own that horse. It was her father, wasn't it?
We can do some research during the break. Vince is usually an encyclopedia
I'm trying to remember. Her father's name, I think, was Vic Rasmussen.
Right.
I'm trying to work out whether it was him that owned it or whether it was Grant Dixon's father, Bill, who had a lot to do with it too. Because back then, Natalie and Grant Dixon used to be together.
Okay, there you go.
So can't remember exactly which father was the most one involved in that one, but I'm sure they all had a bit of a piece of the action when it came to punting on it, that's for sure.
I'll do a bit of a Google search when we get to a break. And the last one, Lucas, as a driver, what's the race that just is the pinnacle for you that you would love to win?
In your dreams type of race.
Yeah, WA Cup.
Oh, interesting.
It takes a good horse, and it takes a lot to go right.
Okay.
That's not an easy race to win.
Okay, that's probably the one I want the most. The WA Cup. You and Vince can shake hands because he's a massive, probably the biggest WA racing fan I know. It's a meeting of two worlds. So you're combining to one.
You've got to get down to the Ribbon of Lights down there across the park as they go by the palms at the 450. In fact, I'll get a little race call up for you later on that one.
We might have to. Lucas, we appreciate you giving us your time out of what I'm sure is a busy, busy day. And I'll let you know when this story goes up so you can actually listen. There we go. Lucas Rando joining us on the line there for Trot's Life. We'll get a quick break out the way and come back with more on the other side.
See you. Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499 736 736. Live on SEN Track, you're listening to Trot's Life.
Yeah, it's great to have your company back here on Trot's Life, SEN Track, Thursday, the 21st of March. Paul Sebastiani here with you. Vince Lociano is with us as well. Vince, we need to get ready for a big preview on the
We do
side.
Indeed. But just before we do, Paul, can I just give a big shout out to one of the most impressive young harness racing drivers in the country?
You can, of course you can.
And he's in fact come first in the Drivers' Championship in Victoria for the last 2 years. James Herbertson, happy birthday today, 24 years of age, can you believe? He's still got the world in front of him.
He does indeed, one of the best drivers in the business and across
over 200 winners in the last two seasons.
It's ridiculous.
In each of the last two seasons.
Absolutely ridiculous. So to Jimmy Herbertson, very, very happy birthday. We're going to get to the news on the other side. Big preview to come.
As they run down the side of the track, it's Washaki a half length in front. Smoking Up is sitting second. Third is Our Awesome Ambro. Blacks are Fakers grinding away on the outside. Monkey King will peel off its back shortly. Bondi No Run. And then came Atomic Arc Changeover. And Bailey's Dream goes to the outside. 28-3 for that third quarter. Washaki leads from Smoking Up. Here comes Blacks are Fake down the outside. And then came Monkey King and Bailey's Dream warming up. Blacks are Fake hit the lead at the 150. But here comes Monkey King out after it. Smoking Up is battling away, but it's Blacks are Fake. It's holding Monkey King at the moment. It's Blacks are Fake. Into the Minion Immortality for Blacks are Fake. Four grand finals, you beauty. Goes home to score over Monkey
There we go. A friend of the program. And
hope you like that one, Lucas Rando.
A win that will, or a commentary replay that will put a big smile on plenty of people's
And that
faces.
Was Fred Hastings' first Inter Dominion call.
There you go.
Channeling his inner Alex Jezalenko at the end.
Yup, yup, tea. This is Trot's Life here, Thursday, the 21st of March. Great to have your company right across Australia. A good afternoon or a good morning, depending on where you're tuning in.
Yes.
If you're still in South Australia, good morning.
Well,
if you're in
Perth,
WA, good morning.
You're
probably just waking up. And right across the rest of Australia. If you're in Queensland, a very good morning to you as well, because they've got, they don't have the daylight savings up there. But if you're in New South, Tassie or Victoria, very good afternoon to you all. Now, it's of course, it would be remiss of us to ignore New Zealand harness racing.
Yes.
Mickey Guerin's on a bit of a holiday at the moment, so we are going
Would you like me to speak in my best New Zealand accent?
You can try to if you'd like. You can try
No, I'm no good at that.
You can definitely
all
try
All I can
to.
Say is fashion chaps.
All righty, let's get into the Alexandra Park card. Now, we have fixed odds out for races 6, 7 and 8. So the Northern Oaks, which is race number 6, the Northern Derby, which is race number 7, and then race number 8 is the Auckland Co-op Taxis Free For All Pace. And we'll get on to him last. Don't Stop Dreaming. Heads back across the Tasman.
Yes.
Maybe with his tail between his legs.
No, look,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he performed very admirably here in Australia. And, yeah, it'll be a very interesting race, that free-for-all. But
it will be. No, definitely.
They are back up in the Northern Island of New Zealand. And this track is the only one in the whole of Australasia where they actually race the wrong way.
Wrong way according to who?
I don't know who decided that at this track we're going to go the opposite way, but they're the only ones that race in a clockwise direction.
Very odd. Very odd, isn't it?
It's like kicking left foot if you're a right footer.
Some people are ambidextrous. But anyway, let's get on to the Northern Oaks. Race number 6 on the program tomorrow at Alexandra Park. Now, for those wondering, this race will commence just before 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. So 5:59 p.m. is when this race is penciled in for. And the star, All You Need Is Me, comes up $1.28 favourite. And given what she has done in the lead up to this race, I think, $1.28 is a price
she
like
just
that.
Wins, I'm
is
sorry.
A price like that ever justified?
Wow.
Maybe here. I couldn't back her, but for me, this is just a watch race. She's going absolutely super at the moment, and there's no reason to knock her here.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And it's one of those races where if you want to take the skinny odds, good luck to you. Some people would say, 28% interest is not bad compared to what the bank offers you. I can't see anything else beating All You Need Is Me. It's going to be very hard to beat from the draw, especially drawn gate two. I think the one is actually a very good place chance. So if you want to have a little play on something else in the race for place odds, I think the one is drawn very well. Not without a chance of finishing in the top three.
Or something like that for the exotic players?
Yeah, or a duet bet, something like that.
There we go. All right, we can do something like that. So that's race 6, the Northern Oaks. It should be. I mean, on paper, we know it's not, races aren't run on paper, but All You Need Is Me looks all over the winner in that race in particular. Race number 7 sees Dreams Are Free as our favourite, and this is the Northern Derby. $2.70. Chase a Dream at $4.40. The horse drawn the inside, Cold Chisel at 3.7. And We Walk By Faith is $6 at the moment. And outside of that, Jeremiah's $9, and we're double figures for the rest. So an interesting market, a tricky market. I think if Dreams Are Free was drawn, and I say in inverted commas, a little better, according to history, would probably be a bit shorter than it is. But Gate 8 makes things intriguing.
Yeah, well, Dreams Are Free's drawn right outside the front row because they have 8 across the front there. So not the best alley to be starting the race from. I actually like Cold Chisel from the one gate. It's second favourite at the moment. I think it's going to be hard to beat from there. The other one that's got a big chance is number 10, Chase a Dream, from the second line. That's the Mark Purden horse. And, of course, the favourite, Dreams Are Free. It's going to have to do all the work. And it is favourite at the moment at $2.70. But if I was having a bet, it'd be on the number one, Cold Chisel.
Okay. Cold Chisel. Hopefully we can play a bit of K-San.
I was just going to say, if it wins, you can play K-San in the pub afterwards.
Up and down. We'll be bobbing our head up and down.
Yes. Zach Butcher for Barry Purden.
Okay. All right. So Cold Chisel for
Scott
you there.
Phelan.
Just looking at the flux at the moment, there haven't really been too many major moves.
Yeah.
There's been a go slightly. No, there's not really, but they're all sort of drifters at the moment. Market's sort of having a little bit of a difficult time figuring it out, but I mean, closer to the race, we'll probably get a clearer idea of what's going to be heavily backed and what won't be. Now, this is probably I would say the most intriguing race on the program, given mm-hmm. Don't Stop Dreaming goes back to New Zealand.
Yep.
But Old Town Road won pretty well first up a week ago against Alter Wise Guy and was $1.50 elect in a small field.
Yeah.
But we just don't know. Faces another small field again here. Field of seven to go around. Defeated Alter Wise Guy, who comes up a $26 chance, but now faces Don't Stop Dreaming and Self Assured as well. So, look, Don't Stop Dreaming, we would assume he's travelled well, all is okay. Mm-hmm. Arguably the best horse across the ditch in this type of grade. He's a $1.80 favourite. Is that worth a play? I think if we get a two in front of his name, he'd almost have to be worth a play.
Yeah, well, it's quite short, but look, these small fields tend to do funny things, don't they?
Look,
I hear what you say about Old Town Road and beating Alter Wise Guy, which has drawn seven. I think those horses will both go back. I can see Kango having a big play for the lead here from gate two. Self-assured, not quite the same self-assured that we've seen in the past. I think his best is probably behind him. But
well, we saw him in November defeat Akuta.
Yes.
Which is that, see, if he's to bring some sort of form like that, look, he is an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Now he is getting a little bit long in the tooth, but we know with this industry, they can race till 10, 11 and have no issues at all. So if he brings some sort of form like that to this race, is he a sniff to knock off Don't Stop Dreaming? He'd almost have to be, wouldn't he? But you're basing it on previous runs rather than maybe a last start
run. Reputation more
correct.
Than anything.
Exactly.
It's interesting that Mark Purden's chosen to drive Self Assured and Natalie Rasmussen will be driving Don't Stop Dreaming. So that's interesting. I think they could easily run 1-2 in this race, but given the barrier draws. It's another one where if you're going to back Don't Stop Dreaming, it's purely on the horse's ability and track record. I thought it might have been going out for a spell by now. But
so did I. Obviously, yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Obviously, the horse has taken no harm from his stint in Australia. So it will be interesting to see how it goes. I think it will win the race, Don't Stop Dreaming.
Yep.
And I do think that the one or the two are the best chances to run second and third. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll soon
find out. And Republican Party's another good horse, shorter than I thought it would be, to be honest. Coming back from a spell, but obviously in good order. So any of these seven horses, seriously, any of them could actually pull it off.
Yeah, it's an intriguing race. I think we are getting a price about Don't Stop Dreaming. The one thing I like about Don't Stop Dreaming set up in this race is the step up in distance.
Mm.
I feel as though he. And speaking to Bronte Neuenberg, who, of course, she's part of the Sulky app now. That's her little baby, and they look heavily at sectional data. And his sectionals have been strong. But I just think that 1,600 metres at that particular level, Frankie Ferocious, Leap to Fame, these stars, just that little bit sharp for him. Just that little bit sharp for him. Mm-hmm. We saw him win the Menangle Mile back on the 10th of February.
Yeah.
And he did so defeating our Vinny, your namesake. But it was an easier race than what he faced moving forward into those type of events. So I think this sets up nicely for him, but it's a little bit icky taking $1.80 about a horse who's been through these pretty high-pressure races.
Yep.
Wouldn't surprise, look, if you get a two in front of his name, he almost has to be worth some sort of play, I would thought. But like we say, you've got to respect the market, and the market I actually think is letting you on here. I think the market's letting you on here, so very, very intriguing. Have you got the three on top?
I've got the three on top, but I wouldn't be betting in the race, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, I think that's the way. I think that's
I might
the
just
way
have a look
it.
At it and see how it compares.
I've seen worse bets, but it could be one of those cases where does he fit the champion category? Don't Stop Dreaming.
Not yet.
He's
all the potential
take,
is there.
Yeah, he needs to take that next step.
Yeah.
So I wonder how he's going to go in his five-year-old season. That's because you kind of when you go two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old, you build up your repertoire against the free for all horses, and you build up your physicality and strength. So I wonder how much improvement is actually left in his ratings. I think after this, a nice spell would do him the world of good.
Yep,
I would think. I think
based on what I've seen, I think he'll really put it all together as a five-year-old. and probably be one of the main contenders for next November's New Zealand Trotting Cup.
Yep.
But it all remains to be seen,
Paul. It does. It does. It definitely does indeed. So that is Alexandra Park out the way as well. What we'll do is, because that's the New Zealand side of things, we'll take a break. And then on the other side of the break, we will venture closer to home and start with, we've got Bathurst, which we need to focus on, and Gloucester Park for Friday, which is going to be sensational. Then we'll hit the news and then we'll get into Melton. Of course, Steve Cleave, his little black book, will recap his selections at Melton this weekend before we do our preview. And then we'll have a little bit of a preview for what's to come this Sunday, the 24th of March, at the back end of the program. So don't go anywhere. Trot's Life, Thursday, the 21st of March. Paul Sebastiani, Vince Lochisano will be back to preview more and find plenty of bets on the other side of the break.
Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499 736 736. Live on SEN Track, you're listening to Trot's Life.
Track Thursday, the 21st of March. We just went through the Group 1 card there at Alexandra Park across the Tasman Sea in New Zealand. And Paul Sebastiani, Vince Lochisano here with you. Now, Vince, we're just going to touch on Bathurst because the card tomorrow leads into a bigger card next week, does it not?
Yes, exactly. Yep. We've got six heats, can you believe, of the the Bathurst Gold Crown.
Yes.
They're all taking place tomorrow night at Bathurst. We're not going to go through each of those races, but it'll be interesting to see which horses perform well there and qualify for the final.
Yep.
So next week we'll spend a bit more time on that.
Beautiful.
There is, of course, the race five is the Smooth Satin Pacing Cup, named after that wonderful horse that won the 2002 Inter Dominion for Steve Turnbull. And what a great race. The last time they raced the Inter Dominion at Harold Park, in fact.
There you go. And what a great family the Turnbull family is in this industry as well
absolutely.
And over that side of Australia too. So we'll keep an eye on Bathurst this weekend with an eye for next weekend as well. So probably more of a watch program to get an idea of what's to come.
And interestingly, Steve Turnbull's got a runner in that race as a trainer.
Okay.
He trains number six, Cassius Deck, and will be driven by Mitch Turnbull. So
all family affair.
let's hope that he at least gets into the money.
An all family affair. Okay, now let's pay particular attention to a place that puts a very big smile on your face, Vince, and actually puts a smile on the face of the gentleman we spoke to earlier in the program in the form of Lucas Randall. Now, Gloucester Park tomorrow.
Yep.
Now, we have fixed odds out for race number five, which is the Seth Blue Chevalier, four-year-old classic pace. Is that pronounced correctly?
Well, it's the SEFS, which stands for Specialised Equipment Funding Solutions. the Pro Chevalier.
Pro Chevalier.
Four-year-old classic.
There you
go. Chevalier, one of the most famous WA horses going back to the 80s. And
I tried to get my French pronunciation going. It was,
Pro Chevalier.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Four-year-old classic. It's a Group 3 race, race 5. But the race before that is the free-for-all. So I thought we'd just quickly cover that one.
Yes, we can do that. Of course we can.
Always like to cover the free-for-all every Friday night.
We can do that. Fire away, Vince.
Well, look, really, there's not a horse here that doesn't have a chance. I'd have to say probably if I had to choose one that was going to be struggling to win, it would probably be number 5, Cordero.
Yes,
purely because of the draw.
Yep.
And number 2, Volton Tin, his best days are behind him. He's drawn 2. He'll probably slot in behind the 1 when they go.
Yep.
So that'll give him a good place chance, but I can't see him winning. There's a couple of horses coming back from a spell, which I think will be an interesting watch. Numbers 3 and 8. Blitz and By, which when he's really firing will often win these free-for-alls. Trainer Mike Reed, no doubt he's done the job in getting him back to the track. Mm-hmm. Shannon Savalco, one of the better drivers in WA, driving it. And the other one is number 8, Tenzing Bromac, which I think, again, when he's firing and fit and firing, will be winning races of this nature at Gloucester Park, trained by the Bonds and, of course, driven by young Denny Roberts, who again, drove a fantastic race on Monday at Pinjarra to win the Mount Eden Sprint aboard Ideal Agent, a fantastic performance, and won at really generous each-way odds of about 8.50 or something like that.
Is the draw the concern for Tenzing Bromack, and the fact that he's had a bit of a gap between runs, I think, is always a query.
Yeah, look, on paper, yes, but it's not a huge field. It's not like a field of 12 where it's drawn 8 or 9.
Yep.
This is a field of only 8. So, look, be looking for Tenzing Bromack to be making a run down the outside as they turn for home. But, yeah, probably more of a place chance in this race, but certainly well in the market, I think. I think it'll be a very good race for a horse like Hampton Banner from the pole, driven by Chris Lewis, who's one of the best front-running drivers in the country. I'd be suggesting that Hampton Banner is a very good winning chance in this race.
Okay.
But, again, there's lots of quality in the race. And even a horse like Tricky Mickey's in good form. Madison Brown driving could very well be challenging for favouritism. So between 1-6, 1-6, 3 and 8, they're the numbers I'm expecting to fill the first four.
Okay, like that. Now, look, I've got Tenzing Bromack on top here as well, but I will preface that by saying, obviously want to see what the odds are, and I want to see what the market does late in the piece, because that will tell you whether or not he's ready to rock and roll first up, because the last time we saw him was in the WA Pacing Cup, of course, won by Magnificent Storm.
Yep.
And he did finish, he finished sixth. So he finished midfield. So
didn't win out for a spell.
Yeah, so he is, I say in inverted commas, one of the class runners of this field, but I want to see what odds he is, clearly. And what happens with him in the market late in the piece, because that will be a good indicator as to, one, where they're going to settle him in the run, and two, whether or not he's wound up and ready to rock and roll.
Don't get me wrong, Tenzing Bromack will be one of the best horses in WA going around when he's up and firing.
Yes, no doubt about it. So probably in need of the run, but he is still good enough to win a race like that. Let's go to a race where there are fixed odds out for it, and it was a race we just mentioned for race number 5 on the program here at Gloucester Park, the 4-year-old Classic Pace. A Never Ending has been smashed in betting. So as soon as the market's open, it's been 2.2 into $1.40. Hotly Pursued opened up an identical price and is now at the $6. Now, there's been an intriguing go for the horse drawn the inside all as well, $4 into $3.40. So the query here for me is, Vince, and I don't know if you agree with this, but small field, you probably can win over this distance first up. And I speak of Never Ending, the favourite for Gary Hall Jr. in this race at $1.40. But maybe the fitness edge for the two all as well comes to the fore here. How are you seeing this race play out, Vince?
Yeah, my word. I think Chris Lewis will take all as well to the front in this race and do everything he can to keep it.
Yep.
Hotly Pursued's another horse which is in absolutely fantastic form, and I think he is the each-way bet of the race. I think Kyle Harper's driving this horse beautifully, and I cannot believe that right now you can get $6 and $2.20.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just in such good form. And look, Never Ending, great respect for it, but coming off a spell, $1.40, not for me, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough as well. And I think that the early price, I think the 2.2 was generous, just given the form it's got on the board. But $1.40 now, no thank you.
Yeah.
No thank you. If you were happy to play something very, very small on the two, all is well. This is a watch race. I want to see how the six Never Ending has returned here at Gloucester Park. So always good to give our WA constituents a bit of love on this Thursday afternoon here across the eastern seaboard. And
another one too in that
Thursday
race coming back from a spell that I'll be keeping my eye on is number 3, Lusaka.
Okay,
Probably going to need the run, but I'll be watching that one with interest.
23 into $9. So there's been... I just want to go through the flux of this race, Fitz. So,
unbelievable.
So we'll start with the favourite. Never Ending, 220 into $1.40.
Yep.
All is Well, $4 into $3.40.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is in market order. Hotly Pursued, 220 out to $6. Lusaka, $23 into $9.
Yep.
And then it's long odds for Sharko Eagle, who opened up $10 out to $34. Call Me What You Want, 81s into 51s. And then Franco Mecca, 51 out to $81. So Is someone playing funny buggers with the markets in the early stages? All or I someone's just made a mistake?
Well, who knows? I just can't believe that Hotly Pursuit has blown out
that's
like that.
Crazy.
But obviously crazy. It's got something to do with the draw. But in a small field, it's got to have a chance.
Yeah, you'd think so. You would think so. Yeah, very, very intriguing.
Anyway, if you want to take the $1.40 on Neverending.
Oh, by all means, yeah, go for it. Yeah, absolutely, go for it. But I definitely won't be. If somehow, some way, again, like Don't Stop Dreaming, we get a two in front of this horse, Neverending, it'll get some of my hard earned, but not at the $1.40, sir.
No.
Okay, so that is the WA program, Gloucester Park for Friday night, the two races that we've focused on there. So the Mobile Pace Race 4 and the Pro Chevalier 4-year-old Classic, a Group 3 Race 5 at Gloucester Park. Now, I'm going to preview what's going to be a huge card at Melton this weekend. The main race on the program is the Group 1 Something About Maori Mares Free-for-All, race number 5, first leg of the quaddie. And what we'll do is on the other side of the news, we'll recap Steve Cleave's Little Black Book selections for that program as well. So this is Trot's Life, Thursday the 21st of March. It's great to have your company. Here's the news.
Join the conversation live on SEN Track. Welcome to Trot's Life.
Second quarter in 30.8 and Slug of Gin the leader, 700 to go. 2.5 metres to the little champ, Courage Under Fire. Then came Admiral's Avenue, safe and sound off the track. In between runners, Yellstar, three wide with cover at it again. Over on the inside, Kaya Kid. Then Happy Asset, Shaker Maker, Breenies Fella, Captain Rufus and Cole Bruce last. Heading off the back in 28.3. Slug of Gin led 2 metres. Courage Under Fire second. Right around the outside at it again, pulling out. Three wide, safe and sound. Admiral's Avenue awaiting the express post lane. Favourites under the whip, Courage Under Fire. As they turn into the straight, Slug of Gin being swamped. Here comes Shaker. Shaker Maker let loose with a run. Look at him go. Shaker Maker hit the lead with John Justice. He's coming away. Flying Breedy's Fella. It's a Victorian Quinella. Shaker's done it. Shaker Maker's won the Inner Dominion. John Justice.
Oh, there we go. Very well, welcome back to Trot's Life. Thursday the 21st of March. I think that's going to be a regular theme when we get Vince Lochisano on here. Paul Sebastiani with you
I just thought we should have a trip down memory lane, seeing we're going to be previewing the Shaker Maker 2-year-old classic very shortly. What a great horse he was 24 Champion. Years ago.
Can you believe that?
And the great Start Dan Malecki still calling at the top of his game. What a great caller. We are so lucky to have a caller as good as him.
We are blessed. He is Friday Form Panel's very own Dan Malecki, and you'll be able to hear his selections and hear his tips and preview of a big Melton card tomorrow with the great Steve Cleave. Speaking of Steve Cleave, actually, we're going to get into our big Melton preview for Vince and I, but his Melton selections for this weekend, the Little Black Book. So I'll just quickly go through race by race and then I'll go through the horses he's actually had a play on. So here's Little Black Book. We've got race 1, Dance Away and Operative Line. Race 2, Sebastian's Boy. Race 3, Sarge Blanco. Sergio Blanco. Race 5, Ebony's Avenger and Visionary. Race 6, Major Fire. Major Fire, Heavenly Charm, Rakera Rebel, and So What. Race 7, Bark. Race 8, Changeover Girl, and Dalby Robbins. So his plays, though, are race 1, number 10 and number 6. Race 5, number 8. Race 6, number 9. Race 8, number 2 and number 9. Now, if you don't want to play those, what we can do is go to race 6, number 9, Rakera Rebel. Have $100 on that.
Yep.
And then race 7, number 8, Bark.
Yes.
That's how we can play it.
That's the simple way. If they both win, you're in front.
Yep. Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, let's get stuck into it. Where shall we start with that Melton Vince? Shall we start with the Group 1?
Yes.
All right, let's start with the Group 1. Something About Maori, Free For All, Queen Elida, $2.20 favourite, I'm Ready Jet, $2.50. The only other runner in single figures is Revel Stoke. Drawn barriers or drawn gate 7 at $7. Talk to us about this race. Queen Elida, you did say earlier on the program that this could potentially be
Her swan song.
This could be her swan song.
At least here.
What a mighty mare she's been.
Yep.
Across harness racing, not just in Victoria, but across Australia.
Yep.
Yes or no, Queen Elida, $2.20.
Well, as Steve mentioned earlier, seeing the races over the longer distance, mm-hmm. the barrier draw doesn't play too much of a role in how she'll go. Although she's still going to have to get around every horse at some point. So they're generous odds, but they're there purely because of the barrier draw, in my view.
Yep.
She would be the best horse, all things equal, in the race, but she's not going to be my tip, actually.
Ooh. I'm ready, Jet.
I won't begrudge her if she wins.
No, of course not.
I'll be the first one clapping her over the line. Dip the lid.
Dip
exactly.
The lid, of course.
Yes, but look, I like I'm Ready Jet from the poll.
Yeah, I think so.
I really do.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I've always had a lot of time for this horse.
Yep.
And when it's drawn one, it's very rarely out of the placings.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to do something wrong, like gallop or, you know, get out of its gear. But I just think it's going to be the biggest threat to Queen Elida in this race. So that's my tip, one, to beat 13. The other one I think is going to have a big chance in the race is number seven, Rebel Stoke.
Rebel Stoke, yep.
And I think one at really juicy each way odds, Paul, that's going to have a bit of a chance, might be worth, you know, a couple of shillings each way.
Okay, okay.
Number 11, Visionary.
Ooh. Right.
Okay. Keep your eye on this.
$31.
I'm letting you know now that Karen Manning, one of the best trotting drivers in the country, she's been engaged to drive the horse.
Right.
And it's one of Anton Golino's trotters.
Does he have the best name in harness racing? Anton Golino?
Well,
it's probably the best name. Seriously.
Seeing we've had such an Italian flavour on the show today.
This is actually not by design, by the way.
I'm surprised you haven't got him as a special guest today.
You know what? I'm going to ring him up and he's going to come on next week.
Okay. Antonio Golino. Yeah. Anyway, yes, he's got quite a few in the race, hasn't he, in fact? When you have a look at all of the horses that he trains in this particular race, he's got I'm Ready Jet, he's got Cormayeur, number 5.
Yes.
Revelstoke, number 7.
Yes.
Visionary, number 11. And Egret, number 12.
How many times do you see the 70-1, 30-1, 40-1 podcast?
And look, one of the things is that quite a lot of his trotters do gallop. But the more consistent ones, such as I'm Ready Jet, are the ones to be backing. Yep. So that's my tip. 1 to beat 13, 7 and 11. But also, I think number 6, Sleepy, running into a bit of form.
Are we sleeping on Sleepy?
Well, I want to see it win first.
Okay.
But it was a very, very good second last
Interesting.
Time.
Interesting. Now, Steve Cleaver's just messaged me saying the little black book has $20 a place on Visionary.
That's right.
Right? So
there you go.
Vince is following. When the stars align here in the Trots Live studio, something magical is going to happen.
Yeah.
Sleepy's an interesting runner. Can turn it on.
Yes.
When you least expect it. And
interesting that, of course, it's trained by Alison Alford. That's Chris Alford's wife. And they put Josh Duggan on it because Chris is driving Queen Elida for Brent Lilly.
Well, there you go, of course. And, of course, those two have got a great association with each other. Okay, so I'm Ready Jet on top?
Yep, okay. For me, yes.
Yep. Okay, so let's just recap the numbers, the first four numbers that you've got for this race.
1, 13, 7 and 11.
Lovely. 1, 13, 7 and 11. Look, I was I'm Ready Jet on top. Sorry, I was 13 Queen Elida on top from I'm Ready Jet from Sleepy and from number 7, Revelstoke. But I'm not playing in the race for the time being. So if Queen Elida becomes second favourite, it's a little theory I've got when I bet. So when you've got horses like this in a market like this where you've got two really short favourites in the market, if the initial favourite becomes second favourite, I like to back that.
Yep.
So if Queen Elida becomes second favourite, you'll have a wager on her.
Yep.
So just I'll wait for the betting to sort itself out. But 13 on top for me, but she's not worth a bet yet. If she becomes second favourite, I'll be having something small on her. Okay, let's go
back to race 3, which is the Captain Sandy free-for-all.
Yes, let's get onto that,
shall
we?
Small field here.
Catch a Wave, $1.60. Serge Blanco, $2.90. Double figures for the rest. Can those two horses be beaten? Well, they can, but will they be?
Yeah, Catchwave's not the same horse, is it?
We were saying this.
Just
this
not the same horse as it used to be.
Maybe 2 or 3 months ago. It's that the hardest thing to do as a trainer, and I don't know if there's well, Steve's a trainer. He can vouch. I'm sure he can vouch for this. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing to do is keep your horse up, preparation to preparation to preparation, yep, at such a consistently high level. Yep. It's so hard to do. And that's why the best trainers are the best trainers, because they do it on a consistent basis.
Well, he didn't take any part in the Miracle Mile this year, having won it the previous year. Mm-hmm. So that was a little disappointing. His last start, which I witnessed personally at Geelong, was the Geelong Rocket.
Yes.
Coming second in that race.
Yes. Now, is he being priced on reputation or is he being priced on form in his last 2 or 3 starts?
I think he's being priced more on reputation than form.
Right.
He came second to Mac Dan, which ended up actually starting a $1.70 favourite in that race.
Yep.
Catch a Wave was $2.30. So they were very close to being equal favourites. But Mac Dan with the more favourable draw, drawing 5 instead of Catch a Wave in 6, mm-hmm, was the one that had the advantage there at the barrier draw. So a lot of people would have expected Catch a Wave to win that race and didn't. I still think, I'll tell you what, this is my last chance on Catch a Wave.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
going to tip it
Fair
to
enough.
Win.
Yep.
Not with a lot of confidence, but this is its last chance.
Okay.
So, I think if it's anywhere near his best, he should win. Okay. In a small field like this, he's got to win.
No, that last chance salute. No, that's fair enough. So that's the Sandy free for all.
Captain Catch Sandy, away. Yep.
Yeah, Captain Sandy free for all. $1.60 Catch a Wave. back the two to place, like Captain.
Like Captain.
There you go.
Well, I actually think Steve's suggestion of Serge Blanco is a very good one.
Okay.
I don't like to make place bets or each way bets in small fields when you've only got the two dividends, but I think Serge Blanco is another one that's got a sneaky place chance.
Query for me is the fitness.
Yeah.
About Serge Blanco.
Good horse, though. Really improved a lot in the last 12, 18 months.
If you had to absolutely twist my arm, I'd say like Captain to place, but I'm just steering clear of that race. I want to see Catch a Wave do it first before diving into $1.60 in a small field. Now, at the end of the break, off the top of this segment, Shaker Maker.
Yes. The great horse himself.
Absolute champion.
Trained and driven by John Justice back in the day. And his daughter, Ever Justice, won the Charlton Pacing Cup on Sunday aboard Halibur.
She's gone cup to cup weekend to weekend, hasn't she?
Well, she came from Tasmania the previous week, winning on Modern Bliss and followed it up with a fantastic win in the Charlton Pacing
Cup.
She's
doing her family name justice.
She's a lovely young lady too, I've got to tell you.
Good on her. Good on her.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
So the Shaker Maker 2-year-old classic, have you penciled in anything here, Vince, or are we just having a look at
this? To be honest, there's not a lot of form in here, is there?
Yeah.
Having a bit of a look.
Yeah, Steve was saying the same as well. It's probably a watch race, so we can get an idea as to what 2-year-olds are going to line up in what type of races
going
forward.
The two unraced horses are the two favourites.
Okay, right.
The Highlight Reel, number one, and Apollo Storm, number three. They're both trained by Clayton Tonkin.
Yes.
Emma Stewart's partner.
Yep.
And, if they're the two favourites, what does it say about the others? I think the others have all got good form in their racing, but a lot of them have only raced once or maybe twice.
Yep.
I like the one down the bottom there, Hesitate.
Okay.
That looks like it's got a bit of form behind it.
Okay.
Two starts, two wins.
Yep.
But I'm not going to recommend a bet on this race.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Kind of in that camp as well. Yep. All right, the final race we'll just quickly zip through that we're going to focus on Melton. The Mimosa Homes Mares free-for-all, race number 6. Talk to us about this race, Vince.
Yes, mares only race. And
it is.
The suggestion again by Steve Cleave was to back number 9, Rakiro Rebel. I do agree with that.
I wholeheartedly agree with him as well.
Yeah. And the other one that's been going really well lately came back in the field at its last start in the Charlton Pacing Cup on the weekend. So What?
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Barker drove it to victory in the Horsham Pacing Cup the start before. So I think it will be also very, very prominent in this race. But prepared to go with Rakiro Rebel for Greg Sugars. It'll probably start favourite. So What will probably be a second favourite, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other one in the Sugars and Tubbs stable, number 5, coming back from a spell, First Dance, will be in the market, seeing it's got a front row draw.
Okay.
Also, good luck to Robbie Orba's horses. Well, he's got a share in both of these horses. Number 6, Nikki Nana, and number 11, Monomia.
There we go.
They're both very good mares, racing without a lot of luck recently, but you never know. With the right run, might do something. And Heavenly Charm, number 7, is another one that I think is for those punters that like an each way bet with a bit of value. Heavenly Charm will be very attractive odds.
Okay,
only purely again because of the drawing 7 outside the front row.
I like that. I think the Little Black Book as well. We'll just settle on Rakiro Rebel here. The form in behind Lost Storm looks. Looks pretty strong, albeit beaten 8 metres last weekend. I think that form line looks pretty strong.
Yep.
We need to throw to a break, but this weekend, the Greggs Electrical, Oyen?
Haven't you heard Oyen being mentioned when the weather comes on the news?
I always get it wrong. It's you know when you go to get your left headphone and your right earphone and you grab the right earphone for your left ear and the left earphone for your right ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I
usually
do.
Doesn't quite feel the same.
No, it doesn't. So they have got their Electrical Pacing Cup this Sunday, March 24, and it is live and free on Trotts Vision and Sky Racing. We'll get to a break on the other side. We're going to clamp up our preview and wrap up the rest of the program. Trotts Live, Thursday, the 21st of March.
Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499 736 736. Live on SEN Track, you're listening to Trotts Life.
This is Trotts Life, Thursday, the 21st of March. A good morning or a good afternoon to you right across Australia. Paul Sebastiani, Vince Lochisano, we are in the house. And we need to preview a very important race coming up this weekend. It is the Greggs Electrical Oyen Pacing Cup, Sunday, March 24, live and free on Trotts Vision and Sky Racing. It took me a few takes, but we finally got there. So that comes up this Sunday. Vince, really looking forward to it. It will kick off. It is race number 7 on the program, and it is worth, the prize pool is $12K, 4:54 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. I'll just quickly zip through the field. So, number 1 from the one gate, Better Star, then Credulous from number 2, I'm Blinging It from number 3, Double the Hunter. It's the first emergency, so we'll have to wait and see if it gets a run. Number 5, CC in America. Number 6, Jackson Beach. Number 7, Colonia Terra. Number 8, Kowalski Analysis. Number 9, Hanging Fire. Number 10, Major Meister. And number 11, All the Rage. Vince, we've got a minute 30 to go. Let's zip through this, shall
we? Okay, not a lot of time. So, look, my tip from last week's Mount Gambier Cup came second, Kowalski Analysis.
Yep.
First run back from a fairly long spell. So, clearly needed the run based on that evidence. So I think it will actually win this race. Okay, so backing up from last Saturday night's Mount Gambier Cup. And to be driven by Jackie Barker. And also the horse that came third in that race, Hanging Fire, is also in this race, number 9. So I'm going to tip them to go 1-2. So Kowalski Analysis, number 8, to beat Hanging Fire, number 9. I do like Colonia Terra, also from the inside second row draw, to come third. And number 6, Jackson Beach. So it's pretty easy. 8, 9, 7 and 6, they're my tips.
8, 9, 7 and 6. If you have anything to say against that, text through to 0499 736 736. We need to take our final break. And then on the other side, we'll come back and wrap up proceedings for Thursday, the 21st of March. Trotts Life, Paul Sebastiani, Vince Lochisano will be back to draw the curtain down on what's been a very entertaining and hopefully a very insightful edition of Trotts Life. Hey,
Join the conversation today. Text us on 0499 736 736. Live on SEN Track. You're listening to Trot's Life.
Just about to wrap up proceedings here and draw the curtain and close things up for Thursday, the 21st of March here on Trot's Life. Paul Sebastiani, Vince Lochisano, it's been great to have your company. But Vince, before we do, we've got some country cups and some lovely little meetings coming up this weekend. It's, we've got Gawler, we've got Bridgetown, we've got a bit going on at Launceston as well.
Yep.
That we'd like to give a little bit of love to just before we finish up. We've got 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, well, I guess look, we haven't got the fields, unfortunately, yet, but there's a big meeting at Gawler in South Australia on Sunday, the Pacing Cup, the Hambletonian Trotters Cup, and also the Gawler Derby. So a big meeting there on Sunday. All the best to them for that. Bridgetown in WA, their Pacing Cup, and also in New Zealand, the Waimate Pacing Cup at Oamaru Grass Track, Pool.
How good is that? Trackside with Cam Luke and Sammy Hyland to come up on the other side of the news.